نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected ulama, elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is only and merely with the grace, mercy and blessing of Allah Ta'ala that we are able to take His blessed name, recite durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and participate in the gatherings of deen. With regard to the gatherings of deen, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in one hadith, لا يقعد قوم يذكرون الله عز وجل إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة ونزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. That whenever a group of people gather in order to engage in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, then the angels surround them from all sides, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala envelopes them, peace and tranquility descends upon them, and Allah Ta'ala makes mention of them to His angels. So indeed we are extremely fortunate to be able to gather in an auspicious gathering in the house of Allah Ta'ala for the sake of learning an aspect of deen. Further, we would like to extend a warm welcome to each and every one of you who have attended this Hajj program. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala make this program beneficial for each and every one of us, and may He make it a means of earning His divine pleasure. Inshallah, without any further delay, we would commence today's program with a qiraat by Mawlana Ridwan Muhammadi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Al-hajj ashhurun ma'lumat. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَسَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى واتقون يا أولي الألباب ليس عليكم جناح أن تبتغوا فضلا من ربكم فإذا أفضتم من عرفات فاذكروا الله عند المشعر الحرام واذكروه كما هداكم وإن كنتم من قبله لمن الضالين ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم فإذا قضيتم مناسككم فاذكروا الله كذكركم آباءكم أو أشد ذكرا فمن الناس من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا وما له في الآخرة من خلاق ومنهم من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار أولئك لهم نصيب مما كسبوا والله سريع الحساب واذكروا الله في أيام معدودات فمن تعجل في يومين فلا إثم عليه ومن تأخر فلا إثم عليه لمن اتقى واتقوا الله واعلموا أنكم إليه تحشرون صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن الجزاء. Indeed, for one to be blessed with the opportunity to present himself at Baytullah for Hajj is a great and momentous occasion. Such an occasion where the floodgates of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala are open, and one at each and every step has the opportunity to earn great rewards and forgiveness from the side of Allah Ta'ala. However, this is also on condition that a person carries out his Hajj correctly in the manner taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, with regards to this, we will commence with the first segment of today's program, which is an address by Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Patel sir.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, the very great ibadat of Hajj, one of the pillars of Islam, and which is ordained by Allah Ta'ala upon those who have the ability and the means to undertake it. This is a bounty and a ni'mat beyond what anybody can imagine. So the one who is invited by Allah Ta'ala for this very great opportunity and this great ni'mat and bounty of performing Hajj, one very important aspect is to recognize the greatness of this and to be conscious of it, that this is not just any other journey, just any other going and coming. This is way beyond anything of that nature. Just to touch very briefly, this is just going to be a little bit of discussion on the part of how to try and make the Hajj a truly spiritual Hajj. So in any case, the very important part of this is to be conscious of the virtues of Hajj. So for that, we will just touch on one or two virtues now, but the very important aspect is the Kitab of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi, Virtues of Hajj. That should be read from cover to cover before a person departs for Hajj, and it should be taken along as well. And at the different occasions, to try and refresh what is relevant to that occasion. So this is an extremely important part of making this Hajj a Hajj filled with ruhaniyat, with spirituality, not something that's just a mechanical fulfillment of some action. So in any case, in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man hajja lillah falam yarfus walam yafsuq raja'aka yawmin waladatfu ummu. The one who performs Hajj lillah, for Allah Ta'ala, no other motive. We'll touch on this briefly just now again, but he's made Hajj purely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, and there was no infringements of the rights of Hajj. Falam yarfuth, those things that are forbidden in terms of the rights of Hajj, any kind of intimate talk also, any other kind of such actions, even with one's halal spouse in the time of Ihram. And then no sin he committed, didn't do anything that contravenes the rights of Hajj or any other infringement of the laws of Shariat. And he performed his Hajj in this manner and came. So the virtue of this is beyond what we can imagine. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Raja'aka yawmin waladathu ummu. He comes back like the day he was born. So So the day he was born completely clean, he comes back in that state. And therefore in one hadith it is mentioned, when a haji returns, before he gets back home, ask him for dua. Ask him to make dua for you, because he's coming back in this condition. And his dua being a person now who is coming back in this condition, very close to acceptance. So this is the virtue of even asking dua from the haji before he returns home. And then in another hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Hajjul Mabroor Laysa Lahu Jaza'un Illa Al-Jannah. Hajjul Mabroor, what is Hajjul Mabroor? Inshallah we'll discuss a little bit of that also just now. But the reward of this Hajjul Mabroor is only Jannah. And one understanding of this is that this is direct Jannah then. If he preserved this, then direct Jannah. So in any case, this is a very, very great bounty of Allah Ta'ala. And this is by the invitation of Allah Ta'ala. So we should be very grateful for this. Person should truly regard himself as very fortunate, not on a note of being proud of anything, but to become even more completely immersed in gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. In any case, anything that we see around us, ourselves, things around us, whatever, there's one outward form of it, some inner existence, and there's a soul and a life and a spirit in it. Insan himself, he's a combination of this outer form, this body, and the inner soul and spirit that is within him. If you take either one of the two away, once upon a time there was only the ruh in alam arwah. It wasn't referred to as insan in alam arwah. Their ruh and their souls were there. And then one day when that body in which the soul is currently in, and the person is walking, talking, everything is carrying on, but one day that soul is going to leave. So now that body that's there, you no more say insan is lying, you say janaza, mayit, the deceased. Even his name goes away. No more refer to him by his name, you say the mayit of so and so. So that combination of that body and soul made up insan. So therefore, just like we have this outer form and the spirit in these aspects, in whether it's insan, anything else, likewise in a'mal. In every amal, there's an outer form, but there's a life and soul and spirit in it, there's a ruh in it. In terms of salah, there's outer form. There's takbir at-tahrima, there's qiyam, there's ruku, there's sujood. There's outer form of salah. And it's very important that that outer form of salah is also done properly and correctly. Because if that outer form is not done well, though the ruh of that salah might have been in it, what is the ruh of that salah? It's done with total ikhlas for Allah Ta'ala alone. And with khushu and khudu, with that devotion, concentration, that's the ruh of salah. So now the person got full ikhlas, and he's got full concentration, devotion. But the outer form was not in the way that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought and described. Then this too will not receive the very great bounty of acceptance. One person came in the masjid and he performed his salah. But he did it a little bit differently from what was thought by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was hasty in his Qawma, in his jalsa. So after he completed his salah, now we cannot ever imagine that there was any deficiency in the ruh of salah in his case. Sahabi, but they were all going through the learning process still. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and told him, after he came, he made salam, he said, Irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go and repeat your salah, you did not perform your salah. 3 times this happened. And after the 3rd time, he said, please teach me how to perform the salah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then described. And the highlight in this was, on every posture, do it very calmly, properly. So the point was that there was some deficiency in the fulfillment of that salah in terms of its outward form. That too didn't receive that acceptance, lam tusalli. And therefore, the manner of performing salah was, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform your salah as you see me performing it. So the Sahaba learnt it from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They performed it accordingly. They passed it on. And this came down, the generations preserved. So if it's not done in its proper form, then too it's a problem. And if the soul is missing, then it's a complete problem. Then it's dead. So just as this is the case with salah, the same thing applies to every other amal. And the same thing applies to Hajj. That one is the outer form of Hajj. There is ihram, there is talbiyah, there is tawaf, there is sa'i, there is going to Mina, and then going to Arafat, then going to Muzdalifah, and coming back to Mina, and then performing the rami, and the tawaf al-ziyara. These are all the aspects of the outer form of Hajj. If this is not done in the way that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, because this is what he taught practically, and he said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Learn the rites of Hajj from me. See how I'm doing it. And do it accordingly. So he taught the manner of Hajj practically himself, and then emphasized it. Learn it. خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. So the outer form and the outer aspects of Hajj also have to be done right. Person feels, I'll do it my way a little bit. Cut some corners here and there. Find some loopholes. Now staying in Mina, a little bit difficult for me. I'll just come do the Rami the next day. And not fulfilling the Sunnah aspects of Hajj also properly. Something that's beyond a person's capacity and capability is obviously excused in it. But just out of sheer laziness, or just trying to just make things a little bit more comfortable for oneself. So many sunnahs are neglected, then that aspect of qabooliyat that is being desired, which brings these very, very great rewards, Allah forbid we get left out in that. The farz will get fulfilled, but the farz getting fulfilled doesn't mean that we got the highest level of passing in this great ibadat. So one is getting the farz completed, but a person wants these great rewards as well. And the reward is not al-hajj, لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. الْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورُ. That Hajj which is mabroor, on that is the virtue that there's nothing but Jannat. So therefore, that outer form of that Hajj also has to be done correctly. So for that, inshallah, the detailed discussion will take place, that how to go about the various aspects of Hajj in the correct manner. But now nevertheless, coming back to what our discussion is, that how to make this Hajjul Mabroor. So one is the aspect that was already just touched on, that what is the meaning of Hajjul Mabroor? And all these aspects will make it Mabroor. Mabroor is what is required. Mabroor comes from the word Bir. Bir means virtue. A Hajj filled with every virtue. Now one is the explanation that is in the Hadith Sharif. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, gave this virtue. So the Sahaba inquired, وَمَا بِرُّهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Now there's two narrations, two aspects mentioned in one, and another third aspect mentioned in the second narration. But the three aspects that are mentioned in the definition of this mabrur, وَمَا بِرُّهَا, what is the bir? And the virtue of Hajj. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إطعام الطعام, feeding. Now a person might think, where's Hajj, where's Tawaf and Sa'i and being in Arafah and being fulfilling all the rites of Hajj? And where would anybody's mind go to the true virtue of Hajj being إطعام الطعام, feeding people? But this is the very great ihsan that the Sahaba Ikram made on us, that they inquired and they got this detail for us. إطعام الطعام. So it's obvious a person going for Hajj, he's going to be fulfilling all the rites of Hajj. Otherwise, how is Hajj going to get done? But now he has to enhance it. He doesn't just want to get this pass through. He wants to truly enhance that Hajj, make it mabroor. So it's amu ta'am, feeding. Feeding who? No detail to it. Whoever. How much? No detail to it. Whatever. To the extent one date he can share with somebody, some bit of water he gives someone. It'amut ta'am. And many a times a person doesn't realize the value of this. But in a time like Hajj, sometimes a person didn't have his arrangements or something didn't work out. The food bag got left somewhere. And at that time somebody shared some food with that person who stranded in that manner. He knows the value of it'amut ta'am. But that's not the only aspect. The whole ummah is here. And it'amut ta'am has this effect of bonding hearts. It creates this mahabba. And this is the aspect to learn in Hajj. To create that mahabbat and bring it back. To live with mahabba. So it'amut ta'am. This creates that bond. Ifshaw salam. Part of the birr of Hajj. Making salam common. This in another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you can't enter Jannat until you have love for one another. How are you going to have this love? Ifshaw salam. Make salam common. In Hajj, 98% of the people, he doesn't know who they are. Maybe 99%. He don't know where they come from. Doesn't know the person. First time he's even seeing who's this person. But he's being told, make salam for everybody. Ifshaw salam. And the third aspect, leenul kalam. Talking in kind words. Now the safar and the journey of Hajj can sometimes be very testing. But in all those halat and conditions that sometimes do come up, a person is being told, you talk kind words. You don't ever cross that line. You talk kind words. You have a problem also, you attend to it without crossing this line. You want to get that enhanced Hajj, Hajjul Mabroor. So you maintain your calm. And this is in the ayat of the Quran Sharif already, which was recited. Allah Ta'ala says, the one who's now undertaken to perform Hajj, then the highlights, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ, we discussed briefly in the Hadith Sharif. And wala jidala fil hajj, no quarreling. Now we're talking about Hajj. And the Quran Sharif is saying no quarreling. If a person tries to start analyzing without understanding on his own, he's trying to, you see, this doesn't, na'uzubillah, seem like, where's the link? But Allah Ta'ala is the knower of everything. And Allah has revealed in His kalam, you're going for Hajj, remember, fala jidala fil hajj. You want a mabroor Hajj. Then for that mabroor Hajj, this is one of the essential aspects. Wala jidala fil hajj. No quarreling, no arguments. Meaning there will be situations that will test you. Somebody will cut the line. Somebody will be a little bit inconsiderate maybe. Address the situation calmly, address it properly, whatever. But don't ever cross this line. Wala jidala fil hajj. Allah Ta'ala is highlighting this in the Quran Sharif. Can you imagine, person is now being told you're going for Hajj, but he's being told take this. And then the various other details that go with the time is already running. But now just to take it one step further, this Hadith Sharif that we discussed, Al-Hajjul Mabroor. Now this very, very great reward is based on Hajjul Mabroor. So now what is Hajjul Mabroor? Because that's what we want to try and acquire. That's what we want to achieve. The one very important point to remember in this is that there's only one chance in a person's life to get Hajjul Mabroor, meaning the Farz Hajj. Get it Hajjul Mabroor. He doesn't have a second chance. Salah, he performed his Fajr today, it was Farz, tomorrow morning is Farz also. Likewise, Zuhar, Asar, Maghrib, Isha, every day it's Farz on him. Person can perform 50 Hajj in his life. Allah made it possible for 100 Hajj also if he made it. But it's only that first Hajj that he made after Bulugh that was his first Hajj. The other 49, or if he made 100, the other 99 is Nafil. Very great reward, mashallah. But the first Hajj was only the first Hajj. So he's only got one opportunity to do it right. And to do it in the best way. And to make it Mabroor. The Farz Hajj. There's no second chance for Farz Hajj. So therefore it's very important that the full care is taken to do it right the first time. Because that's the first time and that's the last opportunity for the Farz Hajj. Farz Hajj won't come again. So now this is the need now that to understand that I need to make it Mabroor. I need to make it filled with blessing, virtue, with acceptance. So what is the meaning of mabrur? So now, there's various explanations given of what is mabrur. One is what was spelt out in the Hadith Sharif already. Now there's one dimension of what is part of this. The part of making it mabrur is must have all this in it as well. So a person should be trying, and especially in Makkah Mukarramah, one rand that he spends there is rewarded 100,000. One riyal he'll spend there multiplied by 100,000. Within a person's means, he should be taking the opportunity of giving sadaqah in Madinah Munawwara as well, multiplied in the Haram Sharif every amal 1,000 times. So in any case, one is to enhance the hajj with these amal. Then one of the meanings and explanations of mabrur is maqbool. That hajj which is accepted. So how is it going to become accepted? The most important starting point of acceptance is that it is done correctly. It's not even done correctly, it can't gain acceptance. Person left out some important aspect of hajj. He's neglected some things that were necessary. So that's now finished, nothing happened. Or if it happened so deficiently, maybe the farz got done, but that real qabooliyat he got left out of. So the first aspect in that qabooliyat is to know the masail. The masail are not difficult. It might sound sometimes a little bit overwhelming, but because it's not something a person does every day, it's not something probably he ever did in his life, so for the first time it sounds like a lot, but it's very important to be fully acquainted before going. But it is more often than not that we'll not remember everything, or in fact maybe forget most of it by the time we get there. But this hasn't been lost. That foundation is there. Now to refresh it as we go along. Every time that something is now coming up to be done, before doing it, just refresh it. So some simple kitab that has the masail in a very concise manner, to take that along. And on the occasions as they come along, refresh the masail. So because we've acquainted ourselves well, a very quick reading of it also will bring it all back. And inshallah, if there are ulama that are with us in our group, our journey, then very easily we'll be able to refer to them to just double check what we're doing is right. So one part of mabrur is maqbool. That requires that the masail be done correctly. Then doing it is one thing, but doing it with the right intention. That is the soul of it. That's part of that ruh. In the Quran Sharif also Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Grammatically, this walillahi should apparently be right at the end. But Allah Ta'ala brings it right at the beginning. Now this is a grammatical discussion, that bringing it in the beginning gives a specific meaning. That do this exclusively for Allah Ta'ala. There should be no other motivation, no other intention, nothing else that comes and contaminates the intention, or nothing else that comes and mixes up things. For Allah alone, walillah, especially for Allah Ta'ala, exclusively for Allah Ta'ala. There should be no thought about now, people should get to know, I'm going for Hajj, and then they must regard me as Haji Sahab, and people must now give me that extra recognition, extra respect, or whatever else, all these things must be out of it. For Allah alone, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ma'asum Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Imamul Mukhlisin, and the whole makhluk put together, everybody's ikhlas can't come to a fraction of the ikhlas of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he completed his salah and was entering into ihram and recited the talbiyah, Allahumma ja'alu hajjan la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. Giving the ummah the lesson. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is starting off his hajj now. He made it, just entered into ihram. And now he's about to now start riding. Say, Allah, make this a hajj la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. There's no riya in it. It's not being done to show off to anybody. And there's no sum'a in it. Riya happens during the action, and sum'a is part of the advertising that happens after it. So let's make sure that we don't spoil our hajj before we even leave. We don't spoil it while we're there, that every now and again, we're putting something on our status now, we're updating our status, is being higher now. So all the time something is on the status. And social media is keeping up with us, that where we are and what we're doing. And then sometimes some people, mashallah, they're so engrossed that they pose for the picture. That picture itself is haram to start off with. It is the peak of shirk of riya. Shirkul Azhar. But now even posing for that, this is deception now. So where this goes? Shaitan takes it from where to where. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, Hajjan la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. Ya Allah, no riya, no sum'a must be. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what can we imagine about his level of ikhlas with Allah Ta'ala? But the lesson was for us. So neither we spoil that hajj before, don't spoil it during the hajj, and don't spoil it after the hajj also. That after the hajj, a person now, he's now always, one is now out of, somebody asked him something, so he said it. But now to just say things so that it attracts the attention of people, mashallah, this person did this and did that, and so many tawaf you did, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So all this is washing away everything. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, to give an example, one person, he went to visit, so that host, he told his khadim, he said, that jug that I brought from my second hajj, fill the water in that jug and bring it. He says in this one statement, because that statement was calculated to impress this person, that I performed two hajj. So he says in one statement, that a jug of water, he washed his two hajj away. Because now he's advertising himself. So now the advertising, unfortunately, in this time of social media, this has become a constant companion of people advertising themselves, advertising their hajj, advertising their amal, and as a result, washing it before it even happened to. So this is the very important aspect, purely for Allah Ta'ala. The hadith sharif also, man hajja lillah, falam yarfuth walam yafsuq. One who performed hajj for Allah alone, no ulterior motive, no dunya motive, only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And he didn't commit any infringements of ihram and no sin, then he comes like the day he was born. So this is the other part of Hajjul Mabrur, done with total ikhlas. Then another aspect of Hajjul Mabrur is that Hajj which was done in a manner that there is no sin. Now this is already in that Maqbool, we discussed it, but as a highlight separately, that a person is not involved in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala in any way. Now one is deliberately doing things that are against the dictates of ihram. He says, no, I'll give some dam, and I'll give some... Deliberately doing that is wrong. And it very greatly, it decreases the reward. And this mabroor a person gets deprived of. The other is worse than that, which is what haram at all times. Person now is gone for hajj, but he's not looking after his tongue. He's sitting sometimes in the haram sharif, sometimes ihram in Mina, or in Arafat, Allah knows best where he is. And now idle talk is carrying on, then the ghibat came in between. Now the person is making hajj and ghibat, and that whole reward of hajj is all being drained out. He's not looking after his gaze, casting haram glances around. That whole reward of that hajj is getting drained out. He's no more achieving hajjul mabroor. That hajj is now depleted of all the birr, all the virtue, all the rewards. So on the one hand, fulfilling the rites of hajj correctly is very important. But to make it mabroor, together with that, have to be completely observant of all the laws of deen and staying far away from any sin. One very common problem is that the proper parda is not observed. Sometimes, because of now people traveling together in one group, so now everybody becomes one so-called one happy family, but there's no such thing as one happy family when they are not mahrams. That is displeasing Allah Ta'ala. How can it be a happy family when Allah is displeased? And as a result of that, that hajj is being affected. That hajjul mabroor is no more now there, because that sin is being incurred. In Mina, in other places, sometimes it becomes a very free for all kind of atmosphere, which is totally wrong. So this is the other part of Hajjul Mabroor, that a person is performing the Hajj in a way that he's staying away from all sin, all vice. Then together with this, the amount of good deeds that he will do, the more he does, the more that is going to enhance this Hajj. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions that regarding when the time comes, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. Repeatedly you'll find dhikr. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمْ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. You've now completed your rites of Hajj in terms of the wukuf of Arafah, etc. Now the time has come to be in Mina. People now are tired out of the exertion of the few days that passed. Now they come in Mina, they get so flat and relaxed. The time is just in idle talk. Allah forbid getting worse, that in the rebirth, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, engage more in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala now. And gross yourself in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So the lesson in this, the more amal we will do. Person has his rest, he needs his rest, mustn't skimp on that. Otherwise now he'll push himself, cutting down his normal requirement of sleep. He needs 6 hours, he's making 4 hours. After 4 days, that josh all died, he's behosh now. Then he's flat, he can't do anything for the next 6 days. So rather he has his full rest that he needs. But then after having his full rest, mustn't create any unrest. Don't get involved in other unnecessary things. Be involved in what is required, how to spend the time correctly. The two T's, the tongue and the time. Look after these two things. Inshallah, this will take a person way ahead in terms of making Hajjul Mabrur. So his time is used correctly. So now, this is one part of Hajjul Mabrur, that he's enhancing it with more amal. Then another very important aspect, which is actually the aspect that is before everything else starts. Person is going for Hajj. Going for Hajj is not just to tick a box. That one thing done now, box got ticked. No, this is a journey of an ashiq, a journey of ishq, of intense love for the beloved, for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a journey to seek the beloved. So now when a person is going to meet the beloved, then the first thing to do is clean himself. First thing to do is to clean himself. And this cleansing is sincere tawbah. Very deep, sincere tawbah. And sincere tawbah, there's three parts to it. Essential part of it is three parts to it. That one is genuine remorse and regret over what happened. That is the ruknul azam. Like how without Arafah, there's no Hajj. Without nadama and regret and remorse, there's no tawbah. Annadamu tawbatun. So that deep regret, to think about how could I have done this? How could I have disobeyed my Rabb in this manner? How could I have transgressed that benefactor of mine who granted me everything, with whose grace I'm surviving, and how I went about things? Feel that remorse after thinking in this manner. Think deeply. And then shed tears of remorse and regret. And don't do it one time and feel done. Spend some time daily repeating this tawbah until the time comes, and even during the journey of Hajj. So cleansing ourselves, so this is one part of tawbah, that regret and remorse. Then the other essential part of tawbah is stopping that sin. Can't be carrying on with it and saying I made tawbah. So now we know what's in our life. So if something is not in order, to stop it now with this regret and remorse. And this is part of going towards this great journey to seek our Rabb. So now whatever is not in order, whether it is in terms of our batin, our internal self, cleansing the heart out of jealousy, of malice, of the ego, love of dunya, we need to take the advice of ulama ikram, the mashayikh, how to cleanse our hearts out of that pride, of that arrogance, all these things. External sins that a person might be still caught up in, to give up that immediately with a deep remorse and regret. If there is something not in order in terms of our appearance, somebody has been not keeping the beard in the way that is required, that at least one first not to trim it lower than that. So to start doing that from now with sincere tawbah, by the time we reach inshallah Madinatul Munawwara, and we have to present ourselves in front of the Rosa Mubarak, at that time we can present ourselves in a way that our heart or our condition can speak, Tere Nabi ki Arab Shabahat leke aya hu, حقیقت اس کو تو کر دے, میں صورت لے کے آیا ہوں. That, oh my Rabb, I've come with the resemblance of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's only the outward resemblance, Allah, you grant me the reality as well. So in any case, the point is to start off that from now. We want Hajjul Mabroor, Tawbah starts today. Starts already before. Genuine, sincere, deep Tawbah. Turning to Allah Ta'ala in all sincerity and with the firm resolve that inshallah this is out of my life, never to come back. Allah knows best the future, but that is the firm resolution. Then just to finish off on one more aspect, my time has run out, but what is the alamat? Just before that last part, one more point. The very important thing to bear in mind is that this is a safar, a journey, and it is a journey which is an extraordinary journey. And then there are things that are done in a way that is not normally we used to, in a very short space of time, in such huge crowds, fulfilling so many things, and everybody is trying to do all these things in the same time. So things do become sometimes challenging. Don't complain there, and don't complain when we come back also. That little difficulty that came, to start off with, what we experience is a very small, minor thing compared to, let alone the distant past, even in the recent past, maybe going back 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, what kind of journeys they had to undertake, go by ship over so many days, people get seasick, and what not used to happen, and then they used to travel from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara on camel back, and they get looted on the way. Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy for us. But that little challenges that come, sometimes some little difficulty comes, that sabr a person made, he got rewarded by Allah Ta'ala. And rewarded very greatly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now why complain about it and wash it away? Don't complain about it there. Take it in one stride. Do what we have to do to sort the matter out. To save ourselves from the difficulty. Do what we can. But don't complain about it. That becomes a song we sing after that. And when we come back, that becomes a bigger song we sing. Don't complain about what we saw elsewhere happening. Talk about the good things. And more often than not, 98% went all very easily for us. There was some 2%, some discomfort. We talk about that 2% like that was the 98%. So just leave that 2% out also. We talk about the good things, what Allah Ta'ala blessed us. Obviously not again to advertise ourselves, but as encouragement to somebody, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala made everything so easy, Allah Ta'ala accept. So the point is, leave that complaints out. Then the last part, just to finish up on this, what is the sign? Now this is how to try and make it Hajjul Mabroor and Maqbool. But what is a sign that a person can judge for himself? That my Hajj was Maqbool and Mabroor. Now what is the reality? Allah alone knows. And that is only something we'll know on the day of Qiyamah. We can't make any judgment for ourselves on the aspect of my Hajj got accepted. We can only keep hoping and making dua to Allah Ta'ala for that acceptance. But the Ahlullah and Mashaykh, they state that there is a sign by which a person can take some indication. The indication that a person's Hajj was Maqbool and Mabroor, that his life after Hajj is a life of obedience to Allah Ta'ala. His life after Hajj is far better than his life before Hajj. He's come back with his heart attached to Allah Ta'ala. He's come back as a person who's now concerned about making deen his purpose of life and getting close to Allah Ta'ala. So now when a person has returned from Hajj, maybe before Hajj he was not performing his 5 times salah with jama'ah, some was with jama'ah, something was happening at home. Now all his salah, mashallah, he's very, very punctual on salah with jama'ah. He was perhaps involved in some sins before Hajj. Mashallah, after Hajj, all that has all disappeared from his life. Maybe his appearance wasn't according to Shariat. Now, alhamdulillah, he's maintaining the correct appearance. Whatever other things that were not in order has come right, that is an indication that inshallah, this Hajj has received acceptance from Allah Ta'ala, hence this tawfiq of now moving forward in deen and getting closer to Allah Ta'ala has come. So that is something to keep asking and making dua for. Keep begging Allah Ta'ala's help, that Allah Ta'ala bless one with a Hajjul Mabroor, Hajjul Maqbool, that Hajj which has all these things encompassed in it. And this is a journey where together with everything else, very deep, excessive dua. Dua for ourselves, our families, dua for the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a journey of dua and a journey to connect ourselves to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Inshallah, we will now commence with the second segment of today's program, and that is a detailed guideline of the 5 days of Hajj, which will be conducted by Hazrat Mufti Zakaria Maghdasab.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Most respected friends, brothers and elders, as our respected Ustaz Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib explained, that the journey of Hajj, the obligation of Hajj, is an obligation of a lifetime. Allah Rabbul Izzat had made it compulsory upon a person who has the means to perform Hajj only once in his life. And Allah Rabbul Izzat explains this in the Quran Majid, in this verse that I have recited. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Those who have the means to reach the house of Allah to perform Hajj, it is a right that they owe Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala thereafter mentions, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And those who refuse, then Allah is independent from all the worlds. So in this verse, Allah Rabbul Izzat is explaining that this haqq is a haqq of Allah, that we owe Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala the farz of Hajj, like how all other farais are the huquq of Allah. Then the farz of Hajj also is a right we owe Allah. Generally, when a person fulfills a haqq that he owes someone, then it is something that is good, but he does not wait for any return. He doesn't wait for any praise. He doesn't wait for any type of remuneration. It is something that I owe you and I paid you back. I took a loan from a person, and the time came to pay back, then I paid him back. You see, what was owed to the person, you gave him. Ya Allah Rabbul Izzat, out of infinite grace and mercy, has made Hajj farz upon us, and other farais also indeed. And Allah Rabbul Izzat has promised in the Quran Majid, in the Mubarak Ahadith, so many benefits, so many bounties, so many favors and ni'mat for fulfilling this farz. So this is the grace of Allah. Indeed, it should create more motivation, it should create more zeal and enthusiasm, it should create more love for us to reach the Baytullah, to go and meet the beloved. As Hazrat mentioned, this is a journey of love, a journey of ishq. So let us just go through few of the fazail, the virtues that I mentioned. For Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his Mubarak hadith, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the famous sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, says, I was present with the Nabi of Allah on the occasion of Hajj in Masjid Namira in Mina, when two sahaba came before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one from the Ansar tribe and the second from Bani Saqif. So when they came before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Then before posing the question that they had come to pose, the Nabi of Allah told them that either you present whatever question you have come with, or if you wish, then I will inform you of what is in your hearts. So these Sahaba, Ridwanullahi Ajma'in, these two Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, if that's the case, then we will allow you to inform us of what question we have come to ask. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to mention, he says, the questions in your heart are, when a person sets out on the journey of Hajj, so every step that his animal will take, moving towards Baytullah, and the time that he will spend throughout the journey traveling, what reward Allah will grant him. And when he reaches Baytullah, and he carries out the rituals of Umrah, performs the tawaf, and after the tawaf, then he will perform the two rakats, wajibu tawaf, salah, and then he will go for sa'i. And with the 5 days of Hajj approach, then he will go to the different places, and then he will stand at Mina, and move towards Arafah, and then the time will come for him to pelt the Jamarat in Mina. And then the time will come that way he will have to slaughter the animals. And thereafter he will have to shave his head. Then he will go to perform tawaf ziyarat. What will be the reward that Allah will grant a person for all these rituals, for all these actions? So these two sahaba say, O Nabi of Allah, indeed, by the qasam of that being who appointed you as the Nabi and sent you to us, indeed these are the questions that we had in our heart, that we wish to come and present before you, to pose before you. But Allah had informed you before we had come. So Nabi of Allah, yes, this is the question. Can you inform us of the rewards? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person sets out on the journey of Hajj, and the animal will move, in those days, people used to travel on camelback, horseback. For every step that the animal will take, Allah Rabbul Izzat will grant a person one good deed, and Allah will wipe out one sin. When he reaches Makkah Mukarramah, and he will perform the tawaf of Umrah, then for every step that he will take, Allah Rabbul Izzat will grant him a reward, Allah will remove a sin, and Allah will grant him one higher stage in the Akhirat. When he completes the tawaf, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward of freeing an Arab slave. And then when he goes for sa'i, after performing the sa'i of Safa and Marwa, Allah Rabbul Izzat will grant him the reward of freeing 70 slaves. Then when the days of Hajj approach, and then he will move towards Arafah, standing on the plains of Arafah, which is the main ritual of Hajj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the first heaven. This means that Allah's mercy descends, Allah comes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the angel saying that, oh my angels, look at my servants. They have come with their hair disheveled, in a dusty state and condition. They have traveled so far to come and present themselves before me on the plains of Arafah to please me. He said, oh my angels, I make you witness that I have forgiven them. Whatever sins they have, even if their sins are as much as the grains of sand in the earth, even if their sins are as much as the droplets of water that fall from the rain, even their sins are like the waves of the ocean, the 7 oceans, I will forgive all their sins. Whatever du'as they make, I will accept their du'as, and I will accept the du'as on behalf of whom they also make du'a for. And then the time comes that where a person moves from Arafah, he will go to Mina, and then he will pelt. When he pelts the Jamara, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him one sin for each time he pelts. Such a sin that was so great that it could have destroyed him in the hereafter. Allah will forgive him for that. And when he will slaughter an animal, Allah becomes so happy, so pleased, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares a treasure for him for slaughtering that animal. And Allah keeps it in the hereafter when the servant will reach Allah on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will show him. And then when he will shave his head, for each strand of hair that will fall, Allah will forgive one sin and Allah will give him one reward. And then when he will go for tawaf ziyarat, and he completes the tawaf ziyarat, and he comes out of the state of ihram, his hajj is complete, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so pleased and so happy. Allah sends an angel, and the angel comes to him and pats him on his back. And the angel says that, go, commence your life again. for all your sins have been forgiven, and you can start off a new life. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that these are the virtues, these are the ni'mat, these are the blessings of a haji. In some hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when the haji goes for hajj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins. That's what Muhammad mentioned. Man hajja lillah falam yarsuq, falam yafsuq, raja ka yawmin waladatu ummu. He comes back like a newborn baby. Like the day his mother gave birth to him, just no sins in his records whatsoever. Provided that hajj is carried out in the proper, correct manner, there's no sin in it, there's no quarreling, there's no fighting, and there's no evil talk. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in some hadith mentioned, al-hajj al-mabrur laysa lahu jaza illa al-jannah. That hajj al-mabrur, an accepted hajj, the reward is jannah by Allah. In some hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the haji will never fall into poverty. Allah will save him from poverty in this world. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the hujjaj who set out for hajj, they are the delegation of Allah. When they are the delegation of Allah, Allah becomes very pleased with them. Allah appoints the angels in Makkah Mukarramah to receive them. Like how a very, very important event, when people wait for the guests to come and they receive them. Those traveling on conveyance, then the malaika receive them by making musafa, shaking hands with them. And those who come on foot, then the malaika make mu'anaka and embrace them. And for every step that the haji takes, Allah Rabbul Izzat grants him the reward of 700 reward. And the person on conveyance, 70. 70 on conveyance and on foot, 700. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the sahaba that 700 will be in accordance to the reward of the haram. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, 700, but 700 of the reward of the haram. What is the reward of the haram, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, multiplied 100,000 times. 700 multiplied 100,000 times. Allahu Akbar. 70 million. Allah Pak grant 70 million. And for those who are on conveyance, 7 million. So much of rewards. Allah is giving so much of rewards. And then those who will spend, whatever they will spend, little or a lot, they'll spend on the creation, giving sadaqah, giving charity, zakat, whatever it is, feeding someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless a person with 700 rewards. And 700 multiplied 100,000 times the reward of the haram. And we know the salah performed in the haram. What is the reward? Multiplied 100,000 times. In the hadith, it is mentioned that the du'as of the haji are accepted. These are also among the virtues. And for all those that the haji will make du'a also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also forgive those people and accept the du'a of the haji on their behalf. In some hadith, it is mentioned, Nabi Kareem sallallahu also mentioned, that the haji receives forgiveness from Allah right up till the 10th of Rabi al-Awwal. He's in the mercy of Allah. He's in the forgiveness of Allah right till the 10th of Rabi al-Awwal. Continues blessings. If a person sets out for hajj, or he sets out for umrah, or he sets out for jihad, and he passes away en route, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the angels that every year an angel will go and do hajj, or do umrah, or do jihad on behalf of that servant. Allah becomes so happy. The sins of the haji are expiated and washed away. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the haji on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will be so happy, so pleased with the haji. Allah will allow him to intercede on behalf of 400 families. Imagine 400 families. Allah will give him that honor on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked on one occasion, Sahaba say, O Nabi of Allah, what is the best form of jihad for women? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the best form of jihad for women is hajj. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, O Nabi of Allah, the men are receiving so much of rewards, they're going out in the path of Allah for jihad. Shouldn't we, the women, also accompany the men for jihad? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, the women should remain at home. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the best form of jihad, where they will get that reward if they desire, is for them to go for hajj. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that hajj is among the most virtuous of deeds in the sight of Allah. So all these are the great rewards. But this is for that person who fulfills the obligation in the manner Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And there is no sin, there is no riya, there is no sum'ah. He doesn't do it for pride. He doesn't do it to show off. From the beginning till the end, And then he preserves that reward of the Hajj. Inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, he will see that reward before Allah. Allah grant me, grant all of us this. But respected friends, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had explained certain important guidelines. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, "Man arad al-hajj fal yata'ajjal." When Hajj becomes obligatory on a person, he should hasten, he should not delay. So if the person without any valid reason, he delays, one is, he's unable to go because of the halat and situation, the quota system, they don't allow him. So in such a situation, the person should at least put his name down. He has the means to go for Hajj. He should at least put his name to show Allah that this is some type of preparation, at the least that I am doing. Then he goes, he attends programs of this nature. He begins to learn how to conduct and how to carry out the Hajj. So if he has to pass away in the interim before carrying out that Hajj, inshallah, he will have an excuse to present before Allah. That, oh Allah, I did what was in my volition, what was in my ability. I did everything. I was unable to go for Hajj. And then he should now make wasiyat. He should make wasiyat that Hajj Badal should be carried out on my behalf. I had the means and the road was closed. I was not granted permission to go for Hajj. Hajj Badal should be carried out on my behalf. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, he should learn all the sunan and he should apply the sunnah in his life from the time he leaves till the time he returns home. Perform 2 rakat salah at home. He should also perform 2 rakat in the masjid of the area he lives before going to the airport. All sunnahs. The du'as that should be recited at the journey, when a person sets out on a journey, he should recite all those du'as. He should ensure that no sin he commits and he does not become a means of inconvenience for anyone during the journey. No taklif. Person sometimes in the plane, so the time for salah comes, people see everybody sitting on the chair and they're just performing the salah in this way. Whereas the person has the ability to perform the salah in the correct manner with the postures, with the sajda on the ground. So he should perform the farz in the correct manner. Sitting on the seat and performing is not correct. This is not correct. And the salah also won't be accepted in this situation. A person who has the ability and is performing, the salah is not even accepted. Especially when a person is going for nafal hajj, nafal umrah, and is missing the farz salah. He's not performing that farz, he's performing it in this manner. Imagine a person is going for nafal umrah and the farz salah is getting neglected. This is indeed very, very grave. Very, very grave. It's a serious sin. Ulama mentioned it's not permissible for a person in such a circumstance for him to go also. Because the farz of the salah, he's not performing it and he's more concerned about the nafal. So this is not correct. So a person should now correct these things, learn from the ulama, and thereafter he should perform these ibadat in the correct manner, then he will receive the reward. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala quotes the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the one upon whom Hajj becomes farz, he has the means to go for Hajj, and he does not go for Hajj without any excuse, valid excuse. فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَن يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا. Allah has no need for such a person. If he wishes, he may die as a Jew. If he wishes, he may die as a Christian. Allah got no need for such a person. So severe warnings, so severe warnings. So of course we all desire that our Hajj be like the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We just touch on the glimpses of the Mubarak journey of Hajj in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to see that how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed that Hajj and how we can also emulate the Nabi of Allah and the Sahaba on the journey of Hajj. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam set out with the Jamaat of Sahaba from Medina Munawwara on the 25th of Zulqadah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the Sahaba of his intention. And the news began to spread. You know, many, many people in the far off lands that heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam setting out on the journey of Hajj. And this was the first Hajj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed and the last Hajj. The Nabi of Allah only performed one Hajj after Hajj became farz. In Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed many, many Hajj. The number of which is not known. But all that was before the farziyat of Hajj, before Hajj became farz upon this ummah. So the Sahaba were delighted. The Sahaba were very, very elated, very, very pleased, very happy. They were excited. And they all wanted to join the Nabi of Allah on this momentous occasion, this happy occasion of Hajj, Mubarak journey, to witness the Hajj of Rasulullah SAW, to learn how to carry out this obligation of deen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Zuhar Salah in Medina Munawwara, it was the 25th, it was a Saturday, and he addressed the Sahaba, he gave a khutbah, informing them of how they should conduct during the journey. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam applied oil to his Mubarak hair, and the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had his shawl, and he had his sandals that he was wearing, and thereafter the Sahaba joined Rasulullah and they set out on the journey of Hajj. When they came to Zul Hulayfa, that is the miqat of the people of Medina Munawwara, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was commanded by Allah via Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Jibreel Alayhi Salam came to Rasulullah Sallam and said, "O Nabi of Allah, Allah has sent me to command you to go to Wadi Aqiq. Here Wadi Mubarak, it is a blessed valley. Go and perform Salah there." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to this valley. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed the Salah. And Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam also commanded Rasulullah Sallam from the side of Allah to perform the Qiran Hajj. وَقُلْ عُمْرَةٌ فِي حَجَّةٍ. Then, O Nabi of Allah, your intention should be Qiran Hajj. Ulama explained that there are three types of Hajj. One is the Ifrad Hajj, is where a person dons the Ihram only to perform Hajj, puts on the Ihram with the intention of only doing Hajj, no Umrah. So he will come to Makkah Mukarrama, he will perform Tawaf, Qudum, he will stay in the state of Ihram, there's no Sa'i, there's no taking off the hair. And when the days of Hajj come, the person is still in the state of Ihram, he will go to Mina and he will commence the 5 days of the Hajj and the various rituals he will do. So this is where a person, he leaves, he sets out from his hometown with the intention of only performing Hajj. Before crossing the Niqat, he puts the Ihram on and he enters into the Ihram of Ifrad, only Hajj. So you come to Makkah Mukarrama, you do the Tawaf called Tawaf Qudum. This is Sunnah. There's no Sa'i, there's no taking off the hair, and then he'll wait for that 5 days and he'll do this. The second type is called Tamattu. Tamattu, most people, they carry out the Tamattu Hajj. But people, they go before the days of Hajj, they come to Makkah Mukarrama. So when they're crossing the Niqat, they cross the Niqat with the intention of Umrah. So this is where a person is going to do. He makes the niyat of Umrah, he puts his Ihram on, and then he crosses the Niqat. He comes to Makkah Mukarrama, he performs the Umrah. After Umrah, then he has to do the Sa'i, and then he'll shave his hair, or he'll trim his hair. And he'll come out of the state of Ihram. This is the second type of Hajj. This is called the Tamattu Hajj, where a person will do that Umrah, he'll come out, he'll be halal. When the days of Hajj will come, he'll put on a new Ihram, the Ihram of Hajj. In Makkah Mukarrama, he'll put on that Ihram, make the niyat from Makkah, and then he'll go to Mina, and then the 5 days of Hajj, he'll carry out the rituals of Hajj. And the third type of Hajj is called Qiran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Rasulullah sallam to carry out the most blessed and virtuous Hajj, and that is Qiran. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah ya in Wadi Aqiq by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, وَقُلْ عُمْرَةٌ فِي حَجَّةٍ. Make the niyat of Hajj and Umrah together. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered into Ihram, he made the niyat, اللهم إني أريد العمرة والحج فيسرهما لي وتقبلهما مني. Oh Allah, I'm entering into Ihram of a person carrying out the Umrah as well as the Hajj. So both intentions. And then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in the state of Ihram until he came to Makkah Mukarrama. He performed the Tawaf of Umrah, he did the whole rituals of Umrah, he did the Sa'i. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in the state of Ihram because a Qarin will not come out of the state of Ihram, he'll remain. And when the 5 days of Hajj approach, then the Qarin will go to Mina and he will continue. So there's no coming out of Ihram and donning or putting on a new Ihram for the Qarin. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah here that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should make this intention. So remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed the Zuhr Salah in Medina Munawwara, 4 rakats. And then he came to Zul Hulayfa. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed the Asr Salah. The journey of Hajj had commenced. So the Nabi of Allah and Sahaba were all Musafir. So the Asr Salah was 2 rakats. 2 rakats Asr. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained here at Zul Hulayfa with the Niqat is. The Asr Salah, the Isha Salah also performed 2 rakats. The Nabi of Allah spent the night in Zul Hulayfa and commanded by Allah to go to Wadi Aqiq, perform some salah, and this is the intention he should make when he's entering into the Ihram. The Nabi of Allah also spent the night with all his wives. He fulfilled their need with all his wives. This is also among the mustahab actions that the fuqaha mentioned the sunnah actions before a person enters into ihram, that he should consort with his wives, he should spend the night with them, fulfill their need. So the journey of Hajj can be a lengthy journey. So in order for a person's heart to be at ease, in order for a person's desires to be at ease, because a person will be traveling and he will come across different situations, his desires and his nafs should not have the better of him. So before he enters into ihram, and this is what he should do to remain pure, to remain clean. And then any unwanted hair also, he should clean himself, clip his nails. He should enter into the state of purity. So Nabi of Allah, he remained performing 3 salah, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Fajr salah of the following day. So Nabi of Allah woke up early, and after spending the night with all his wives, the Nabi of Allah had ghusl in the morning, and he performed the Fajr salah thereafter. At the time of Zawal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the state of Ihram. This was the state of Ihram of a Qarin, the niyat of Umrah and Hajj together. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahaba the option of doing different types of Hajj. Some did Ifrad, some did Qiran like Rasulullah sallam, and some entered with the niyat of Tamattu Hajj. Then, after the Zuhr Salah was performed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the 2 rakats to enter into Ihram. So when a person is about to enter into the state of Ihram, this is sunnah, that he should have ghusl. Rasulullah SAW had ghusl, separate ghusl, for entering into Ihram. So a person will have ghusl. He'll clean himself, then he'll have ghusl. And after having ghusl, he will perform 2 rakats with the niyat of nafal. This is also sunnah. The salah is called sunnatul Ihram, so to enter into Ihram. He will be wearing his Ihram towels. Women can remain in their normal clothing during the state of Ihram. Men cannot wear sewn clothing. So a person will have the 2 sheets or 2 cloths, one above, one below. He will tie the towel and he will perform that salah, the 2 rakats. Better to recite Mustahab, to recite Surah Kafirun in the first rakat and Surah Ikhlas in the second rakat. But while performing the 2 rakats, his head should be covered because he has not yet entered into Ihram. After he covers it, while seated on the musalla, facing the qibla, he'll make the niyat. Remember, he has not yet crossed the miqat. It's not permissible for a person to cross the miqat when he's not in the state of ihram. Now, a person has the option, maybe at home, he can put that ihram before he sets out to the airport. That's also one option, a lot of reward. But if the journey is long, it can be difficult. Many people, depends the route that they take. Some people, they stop at Dubai, so the airport there, they have a ghusl there, put on the ihram, and perform the 2 rakat salah before they board the plane. However, if a person is in the plane, then they will make the announcement. The announcement will be made that we are coming close to the miqat. So a person, if he can perform the 2 rakat in the plane, he has the ghusl before he leaves, and then he performs the 2 rakat in the plane. The ghusl is sunnah for ihram. So if a person performed that ghusl at home, but the ghusl broke because he needed to go to the toilet, then though he made the ghusl at home, but the ghusl was not for entering into ihram, because before he entered into ihram, that ghusl didn't remain. When we say the ghusl didn't remain, in other words, that he's not in state of janabat, but immediately after the ghusl, he's supposed to enter into the state of ihram. He's supposed to enter in the state of ihram. But this can become a bit difficult at times. So never mind, a person at home, he can make the ghusl, and if he can keep the ghusl without going to the toilet and on the plane, then he will now make the niyat. And if he has to go to the toilet, then never mind that he had a good intention of making the ghusl. So he went to the toilet, and this will suffice inshallah for the intention. Though this, the actual sunnah is after the ghusl, then a person performs that 2 rakat salah and immediately he enters into the state of ihram. So nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is, he made that intention. And while seated on the musalla, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the labbaik. So a person who is entering ihram will make that intention. Allahumma inni uridul umrah. Most people, they carry out the tamattu hajj. So you'll do the niyat of umrah. So while seated on the musalla, oh Allah, I intend to do umrah. Fayassirha li wa taqabbalha minni. Oh Allah, accept it for me and make it easy for me. Immediately after making the intention, remember, you'll take out your hat. Before you make the intention, you'll take out the hat. You'll make the intention. You can say it in English also. Wallah, intend doing umrah, make it easy and accept it.
Then you will recite the talbiya, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika laka. You recite it thrice. At least once you require to enter into the state of ihram. But if a person doesn't recite the talbiya at all, he won't even enter into the state of ihram. So remember, just by making the niyat, you're not going to enter. You have to recite the talbiya. And the sunnah, as he recited at least 3 times, but 1 time also. If a person did not recite the talbiya, but he made some other zikr, that also will bring him into the state of ihram, but the sunnah has been left out. The sunnah is the talbiya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the zuhr, he set out with the sahaba. There were different legs of the journey, different places Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped. Different things happened. You just go through it. At Maqam-e Roha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped with the sahaba. It was a place where 70 anbiya passed and performed salah. Nabi Sallam stopped here, performed some salah. Nabi Sallam informed the sahaba that this maqam, this mubarak place, 70 anbiya had come at this place and performed salah. There is a well there. Rasulullah Sallam also is reported he drank the water of that well. They continued, they came to maqam ya Araj. Araj was the second stop of Rasulullah Sallam mubarak journey. Then the slave that was in charge of the luggage of Rasulullah and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, that slave was nowhere to be seen. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had one conveyance, had one camel, the Nabi of Allah was on another camel, and the slave was on the third camel looking after the luggage of Abu Bakr Siddiq Rasulullah. The provision for the journey was also on that animal. Abu Bakr Siddiq was looking around, he couldn't see the slave. So he was worried, and the luggage of Rasulullah, Abu Bakr Siddiq's displeasure, discomfort, he's becoming upset and angered was because of Rasulullah. It wasn't because of himself. So yeah, Rasulullah could see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was worried. So after a while, they all waited, the whole Jamaat of Sahaba. Imagine that the Sahaba who joined Rasulullah on that journey numbered 124,000. Imagine what a Mubarak journey. All the wives of Rasulullah also present. And after some while, that slave comes. So when he came, he mentioned that I lost the camel and all the provisions and the luggage. I also lost everything. Abu Bakr Siddiq became so upset, so angered. In that state of displeasure, discomfort, being angered, Abu Bakr Siddiq slapped the slave. So Nabi Allah was standing nearby. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just mentioned, look at how this muhrim, how this person in the state of ihram referred to Abu Bakr. Look at how this muhrim is conducting in the state of ihram. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just smiled. The ulama say that because the slave was a slave of Abu Bakr Siddiq, and he was given this job, he was given this duty of looking after, he lost it, it was permissible to discipline the slave. But it was better for Abu Bakr not to slap the slave. So that's why the Nabi of Allah smiled, showing that what he did was not wrong. But the Nabi of Allah says, that look how this muhrim is conducting, indicating it's better if he didn't do this. Sahaba Ridwan Allah Majmain saw that Rasulullah's luggage, the provisions, everything, they don't have it. Allahu Akbar, all the Sahaba came forward. Hazrat Fadala radiallahu anhu brought his food. O Nabi of Allah, this is food, I brought this food. Hazrat Saad radiallahu anhu and Abu Qais, they brought the camel full, loaded with food, with provisions, all brought it. And it had, just at that time, Allah Pak made it such that the camel that was lost, Allah Pak caused that camel to be found, carrying the luggage, the supply, food supply of Rasulullah Abu Bakr that was found, it was brought. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his Sahaba, Jazakumullah, Barakumullah, Allah give you barakat, but we do not require. Allah Pak had sent our camel back and we have our camel. From here we learn how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was calm and composed. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, of course, he was not upset and angered for his own self. It was only because of the Rasul of Allah. And inshallah we'll continue after the salah, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing from where we stopped. When a person enters into ihram, he should ensure that the hajj he's performing with halal wealth. There shouldn't be any haram wealth that he is using to perform hajj. So everything should be purity, everything should be halal. In the hadith sharif it is mentioned that when a person sets out to perform hajj or umrah with haram wealth, when he enters into ihram and he says, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, O Allah, I am present. Then an angel calls out, La Labbaik, you are not welcome. Your provisions are from haram, your conveyance is from haram, your effort and striving is also haram. There is no acceptance for you. You are not welcome by Allah at all. And when a person sets out with halal wealth and he says, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, wallah I'm present, wallah I'm present. Then the angel calls out that you are performing your umrah or hajj with halal wealth. Your conveyance also is from halal. Your strive and your effort also is halal. Then may Allah grant you hajj mabrur maqbool. The angel makes dua. So it's very important. Then when a person is in the state of ihram, he should understand that all the prohibitions of ihram he should refrain from. He should not do anything that is against the laws of ihram. One is the normal sins that a person commits. It's sins in ihram or out of ihram. They are sins all the time. But there are certain actions that in the state of ihram, Sharia has prohibited a person from carrying out. In the state of ihram, a person can't clip his nails. He can't remove his hair. He can't touch his wife with lust. So all these things a person should now be cognizant of and he should refrain from. Then a woman, in the state of ihram, a woman's face should be uncovered. But in time of fitna, you see, a woman should not come before strange men. That is why the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though among the muharramat of ihram, things that are prohibited for a woman in ihram is to cover her face with a cloth, it's not permissible. But the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat still, they observe parda to a great extent, even in the state of ihram. So they would say that we would remain in the conveyance, on the camel, the carriage, remain. And if we were out, then we would ensure that men didn't pass by. Men didn't pass by. If any men had to pass by, then we would quickly cover our face in such a way that the men don't see. And the cloth, of course, didn't touch their face. So they were concerned that the faces shouldn't be covered by any cloth. And at the same time, the gazes of strange men shouldn't fall on them. So their parda was always observed. In that zamana, there was not so much of fitna like how we have it today. So the ulama say that in this period of time, time of fitna, it is compulsory upon a woman to cover her face at normal times. But in the state of ihram, she can't cover her face, so she should now don the cap parda. The cap parda, it might be a bit difficult and cumbersome, but she wears a cap and there is a cloth that drops forward. And the cloth is not touching her face, but it's a little away from her face. So in this way, she's observing parda from strange men, and the cloth is also not touching her face. So the face is open in that respect that there's nothing touching her face. So it's important for a woman in this time, when going for umrah or hajj, to don the cap parda. So that she will save herself from looking at men, men looking at her. And at the same time, it's not permissible for a woman to wear the normal parda. Some ulama say, that they can just wear and give the dam. No, this is not right. The hajj that will be performed will not be hajj mabrur, hajj maqbool. Hajj mabrur and hajj maqbool is that hajj where there is no sin that takes place in it. The prohibitions of ihram, prohibitions of deen are not carried out in it. So if a person wants this, then this is how he should carry out that hajj. Remember, for any gain, it comes with qurbani. A person wants to gain some great reward, some sawab, it comes with some sacrifice. So it's difficult, but put in that effort, then inshallah Allah Pak will grant that reward. Some people feel that no, if you wear the cap for less than 12 hours, you just give sadaqah. So every time they're wearing it, and they're quickly taking off before 12 hours. The fuqaha mentioned the intention there is to wear it again. Because they know they're going to be wearing it again, you'll add all those times to put it together. And if it comes to 12 hours or more, you have to give the dam. So there's no loophole here. There's not any way out, we should understand this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba, they traveled, they continued on the journey. When they came to Maqam-e Usfan, then as a Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Nabi of Allah, teach us hajj like how, as though we know nothing. Like a person who's born, he's just born now, he doesn't know anything. So O Nabi of Allah, consider us that we know nothing, teach us the rituals of hajj, how to perform that hajj. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them time. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached and the sahaba reached Maqam-e Sarif, this was a place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Hazrat Maymunah ta'ala anha in the 7th year of Hijri. And Hazrat Maymunah radiallahu anha, Rasulullah married her there. Later on, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of her life, she passed away there and she's buried also there in Maqam-e Sarif. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the journey reached Maqam-e Sarif, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's haze commenced. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was in grief. She was very, very saddened over her condition. And she complained, O Nabi of Allah, my Hajj is spoiled now. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consoled her. He said, Hada shayun katabahu Allahu ala banati Adam. No deeds to grieve. This is something Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala destined for the daughters of Adam alayhi salam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained her the laws for a woman in the state of haze, that she will conduct like how a muhrim, a normal woman in the state of ihram will conduct. The only thing is, she will not be able to enter Masjid al-Haram to perform tawaf, because a woman in state of haze can enter the masjid. When she gets pure, when she gets sparked, then she will enter Masjid al-Haram. After she makes ghusl, she'll enter and then she will carry out the rituals of Umrah and tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, and then the sa'i that will follow. When Rasulullah and the Sahaba had Zul Hulayfa before they set out on the journey of Hajj, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's wife, Hazrat Asma binte Abi Umais, she had delivered, she was the wife of Abu Bakr, she delivered a child. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr was born at that time. So Abu Bakr Siddiq came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and, O Nabi of Allah, my wife delivered a child. What are the laws for women in the state of nifas? Rasulullah mentioned she will conduct normal, like a muhrim. She also have ghusl, and she also enter into the state of ihram, recite the talbiya, and she will continue. And similarly, how a woman in state of haste cannot enter the masjid, she also won't enter the masjid. When she becomes spark, then she will thereafter carry out the rituals of the tawaf and that. One important thing is that when the muhrim enters in the state of ihram, he recites the talbiya. Allah Rabbul Izzat makes it such that when the talbiya is recited, everything, the whole creation of Allah that is around that person, whether it's the sand, whether it's the trees, whether it's the flowers, whether it's the leaves, whatever it is, Allah Rabbul Izzat caused that all recite the talbiya with him. And the talbiya continues until it covers the entire world. And on the day of Qiyamah, all will bear testimony in favor of the Haji. When a person, he calls out the azan, as far as the voice of the muazzin way it will reach, all those creations of Allah will bear testimony. But for the Haji, the whole world will bear testimony. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they continued on the journey. When they came to Azraq, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, Allah informed me now, Allah lifted the veil and showed me how Musa alayhi wa sallam performed the Hajj in his zamana. Although I can see Musa alayhi wa sallam now with his fingers in his ears calling out the talbiya in a loud voice, I can as though see it. Some ulama mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to a dream Allah showed him. And some say, you know, Allah lifted the veil and showed him that scene of Musa alayhi salam carrying out that Hajj and how he recited the talbiya in a loud tone, loud voice at the time when Musa alayhi salam was doing Hajj in the world. Of course, in the time of Musa alayhi salam. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam and the Sahaba just commenced the journey and they entered into Ihram. Jibreel alayhi salam told, O Nabi of Allah, Allah has sent me to tell you that command your Sahaba that they should recite the talbiya, the men should recite it in a loud voice. So the men should raise their voice. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. And women should say in a soft voice. Where they can hear themselves, women should say in a soft voice. So this is the sunnah with regard to men and the sunnah with regard to women. When Rasulullah ﷺ reached Zi Tua, this was the place out of the haram of Makkah. The sacred haram of Makkah is just out. Rasulullah ﷺ made ghusl to enter Makkah. So if a person, if it's possible for him before entering the haram of Makkah, the haram area, the boundary, is not Makkah, the city of Makkah is where the haram, a separate boundary. The person, if he can make that ghusl, this is also sunnah, and then he enters Makkah Mukarramah. He's already in the state of ihram, as a sign of honor and respect for the sanctity of the haram, as though he will make ghusl now, and then he will continue. So Rasulullah did this, for entering Makkah Mukarramah. The Nabi of Allah, when he came to Makkah Mukarramah, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered Masjid al-Haram, Babu Salam, entered through Babu Salam. Of course, the people going for Umrah now, so they will be in the state of Ihram of Umrah. So they will reach Makkah Mukarramah, they should go to their hotels, they should get settled, put their luggage. So there's nothing that now is worrying them, concerning them. After getting settled, then they should make preparations to go to the Masjid to perform the Umrah. They should see that how the crowds are. If it's so crowded that men and women are touching, then it's not permissible to perform Tawaf or Umrah in this condition. Ulama says not permissible. In the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, there was some type of segregation that used to take place between the men and women. The women were separate and the men were separate, all being Tawaf, but they were separate. Unfortunately, today's times, the government is not in favor of these things, so all the wrong things happen. And unfortunately, people also don't understand these things. So people say, now how people go to Makkah Mukarramah, men and women intermingle there, they go parda, so do need for parda today also. So wrong conclusion they reach, looking at the situation, not having the knowledge of deen. So we should look at now, look, wait for a time that where alhamdulillah it's not so crowded. If it's crowded and it's difficult, then do on the first floor. Or wait for a time. Then you'll come to the masjid, if you can enter the masjid, to Babu Salam, you'll enter. The masjid has gone so huge, so big, if it's difficult, you can enter from any other door. Now when a person enters any masjid, then the tahiyyatul masjid is to perform 2 rakat salah. But masjid haram, in Makkah Mukarramah, the tahiyyatul masjid is tawaf. Whether a person is in Umrah, in the state of ihram for Umrah, or whether a person is not in the state of ihram, when he enters masjid haram, the tahiyyatul masjid of masjid haram is the tawaf. So, Rasulullah s.a.w. he went straight towards the Hajr-e Aswad, and Nabi s.a.w. commenced the tawaf of Umrah. So this is how the person doing that Umrah, after he leaves his luggage in the hotel, and he's ready to go, he'll go to the haram, he won't perform 2 rakat tahiyyatul masjid, he'll go straight towards the Kaaba Sharif, but when his eyes fall on the Kaaba Sharif, then he'll make dua. Rasulullah s.a.w. when he had seen the Kaaba Sharif for the first time, Nabi s.a.w. he made dua. اللهم زد هذا البيت تشريفه وتعظيمه وتكريمه ومهابة وزد من شرفه وكرمه ممن حجه واعتمره تشريفه وتكريمه وتعظيمه وبرا. That, oh Allah, increase this house of yours in honor, and those who have come for Hajj and Umrah, Allah, oh Allah, you increase them also in honor. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this dua, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he made other duas also, recited the takbir, praise Allah, and he made dua. So when a person sees the Kaaba Sharif for the first time, it'll be a special moment. Allah grant all of us that moment. So a person should move one side, don't obstruct the traffic, people are going also, don't become a means of taklif and inconvenience. Person one side, raise his hands and make dua. While he sees the Kaaba Sharif, he'll make a lot of dua, make dua for himself, make dua for his family, make dua for the entire ummah of Rasulullah s.a.w. Duas are accepted at this time. When you see the Kaaba Sharif for the first time, make that dua. Thereafter, a person should go forward. Now he's commencing the tawaf of Umrah. So he'll make that niyat that, oh Allah, I'm commencing the tawaf of Umrah now. He'll stand in line of the Hajr-e Aswad. Now the original sunnah is that a person goes to the Hajr-e Aswad, and before the Hajr-e Aswad, how a person will be commencing salah, he'll raise his hands for the takbir. So he'll raise his hands, just like how he commences, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Then he'll drop his hands. Then he'll raise his hands for the second time, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And if he's right at the Hajr-e Aswad, then he will place his hands and he'll kiss the Hajr-e Aswad. This should be done in the past. In today's time, because they apply itar to the Hajr-e Aswad, the person mustn't do this. If he has the opportunity, also don't do it. Because he touches that place, he's in a state of ihram, itar comes, he has to give dam. He has to give dam. He can't apply itar or any perfume in the state. One thing I forgot to mention, when Rasulullah ﷺ entered the state of ihram, at Zul Hulayfa before, then Rasulullah also applied itar. This is also sunnah. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was the one who applied it on Rasulullah's Mubarak hair and his clothes and his body. So we should also apply itar at the time when we're entering into the state of ihram, whether for Umrah or whether for Hajj. It's sunnah before you enter, you should apply it. So a person who is in front of the Hajj, then the sunnah is you'll kiss it. But in today's time, you shouldn't do this due to heavy crowds. It'll be difficult for a person to go right at the Hajr-e Aswad and kiss it. So you'll stand in line of the Hajr-e Aswad, and you will first say like the takbir, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Then you'll drop your hands. This is how you commence salah. Then the second time you'll raise Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, as though you're placing your Hajr-e Aswad, and you'll kiss it. As though this is now a substitute for kissing the Hajr-e Aswad. Now the tawaf of Umrah has commenced. A person, he will be wearing the 2 towels. The right shoulder should be exposed. So he'll take the towel that he's wearing on the top, and beneath his armpit, the right armpit, he'll throw it on the left shoulder, and the whole right hand and right shoulder will be exposed. This is called ittiba. Ittiba is sunnah. The first 3 rounds of the tawaf, he will make ramal. Ramal is to move like how a person is jogging, move in a quick state. Like how jogging around the Kaaba. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. And the Nabi of Allah and the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they did it. This is how they did it. This is the ramal. For the first 3 rounds, if a person forgets about it, for some reason he forgot, then he will not do the ramal for the next rounds. The next round he won't do it. The next 4 rounds he won't do it. Because the time has passed. So ramal is sunnat and ittiba is sunnat, but this is sunnat only for men. This is not sunnat for women. Women will walk in the calm, normal manner. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a lot of du'as. At the time when you're making istilam, that's called istilam, you're standing in line of the Hajj Aswad, the du'a Rasul said, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. There's another du'a, Allahumma imanan bika wa tasdiqan bi kitabik wa sunnati nabiyik. This is also a sunnat du'a. Allahumma imanan bika wa tasdiqan bi kitabik wa sunnati nabiyik. It was beside this. Then, du'a when making tawaf, while making tawaf, there's certain du'as that are also reported, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You should recite this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the person who recites this dhikr, then 10 of his sins are erased, 10 good deeds are recorded for him, and through reciting these words, 10 ranks are also elevated for him in Jannah. Allahu akbar. Then, it is mentioned in one hadith, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was the first believer in this ummah to embrace Islam on the hands of Rasulullah, his beloved wife, our mother. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha on one occasion asked Rasulullah sallam, he says, O Rasul of Allah, what should I recite when I am performing tawaf of the Kaaba? Rasulullah sallam replied and said, recite this dua. Allahumma ghfirli zunubi wa khatayaya wa amadi wa israfi fi amri. إِنَّكَ إِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي تُهْلِكُنِي. Then, O Allah, forgive my sins, my mistake that I have committed intentionally or unintentionally. O Allah, forgive all this. O Allah, if you don't forgive my sins will destroy me. I'll be finished. So Rasulullah told Hazrat Khadija radiallahu to recite this dua. This is also a dua we should try to recite. When Rasulullah came by the Rukni Amani and Hajri Aswad, in between that point, Rasulullah recited, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So this can be decided at that point, can be decided any other time. And any other du'as also a person wants to make, he can make. If a person wants to recite Qur'an Majid, he can recite Qur'an Majid. But making du'as are more virtuous and better than reciting Qur'an at this point, because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah. Qur'an, of course, is the greatest zikr, but at certain points, what Rasulullah did, that is the best thing. So it's best to recite du'as compared to reciting Quran, but it's also permissible. Each round that a person will come to the Hajj Aswad, he'll make istilam in the manner. He said, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, as though he's placed it, and he'll kiss it. Second round, third round. When he completes the tawaf of Umrah, that will be the eighth time he's making istilam. When he completes the whole seven rounds, it'll be the eighth time he's making istilam. He'll make the istilam, and thereafter he will perform the two rakats wajib tawaf. As long as it's not a makruh time, he can perform it. If it's a makruh time, he's not supposed to perform it. You'll wait for the makruh time. Like after Asr, you won't do it. After Fajr, you don't do it. You'll wait for after sunrise or after Ghurub, after Maghrib. So it's mustahab to recite Surah Kafirun in the first rakat and Surah Ikhlas in the second rakat. To perform these two rakat behind the Maqam Ibrahim is best. But if the place is crowded, any place in the haram, a person can perform it. After performing the two rakat wajib tawaf, a person will come and make istilam for the ninth time. This is what Rasulullah said. This is for a person in the state of Umrah, person doing Umrah, or a person doing Hajj. So he'll make the istilam for the ninth time now. Rasulullah made the istilam for the ninth time. Then Rasulullah went and drank Zamzam. So this is also sunnah. So before going for Sa'i, a person should drink Zamzam. And the famous dua of Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas, the report of Abdullah bin Abbas when he used to drink Zamzam. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifa'an min kulli da'. And then he drank. Whatever du'as also a person wants to make, du'as are accepted at the time when a person drinks the zamzam. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went towards Safa and Marwa, and as he came to a point where he could see the Kaaba Sharif on Safa, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah. He recited this du'a. And he said, Abda'u bima bada'a Allah bi. I commence with that Allah had mentioned in Quran Majid, Safa before Marwa, so I'll comment the Sahih from Safa before Marwa. So Rasulullah recited that. Showing in his action and in his words, emulation of the command of Allah. The Nabi of Allah, he went, and where he could see the Kaaba Sharif from Safa, where he could see the Kaaba Sharif. From there, and the Rasulullah raised his hands, and he made dua. Rasulullah recited the takbir thrice. Thrice, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then he said, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamdu, hu ala kulli shayin qadir. He said this once. The Rasulullah ﷺ recited the takbir again thrice. He recited the dua again, la ilaha wahdahu, one time. He recited the takbir again thrice. And then he said, la ilaha illallah wahdahu again once. So this dua he recited thrice and takbir 9 times. So this is what we should do. And Rasulullah ﷺ also made other duas. Rasulullah ﷺ engaged in dua. This is what should be done. Then Rasulullah ﷺ moved towards Marwa, from Safa to Marwa. He did the same thing at Marwa. And then he came back to Safa, he did the same thing. For all the 7 rounds, this is what he did. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala has reported that he mentioned a very beautiful dua. Allahumma innaka qulta wallah, you have mentioned, udu'uni astajib lak, call unto me and I will accept. I will accept your dua. Wa innaka la tukhliful mi'ad, wallah, you don't go against your promise. Wa inni as'aluka, I ask you today, wallah, kama hadithani lil Islam, like how you guided me to Islam. Allah tanzi'ahu minni, wallah, don't take that Islam away from me. Hatta tawaffani wa ana muslim, until I die upon iman, upon Islam. As Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala's dua, Rabbi ghfir warham wa tajawaz amma ta'lam, innaka antal azzul akram, at the time when he did that sa'i. Any other duas also a person can make at that time. Now when the sa'i is finished, a person who's doing umrah, he completed the sa'i, what you'll do, he will shave his hair, or he'll trim. It's more rewarding to shave. But if a person is very close to the 5 days, then it's better he trims. So at the time when he does the tawaf of Hajj and Sa'i, he'll have to shave on Mina after he does the wukuf and he's going to take out his hair, he'll have hair to take out. So he can trim his hair now, if it's close, so he can shave at that time. Nevertheless, if a person trims, it is very important that he must trim quarter of his head from all sides. If he trims less than quarter of his head, he won't come out of the state of ihram. He won't come out. It's important. And if the hair is so small, that less than a fingertip, then he has to shave. He can't use a machine. Then you have to shave. Otherwise, you won't come out of the state of ihram. There are many masail. Nevertheless, the person now, when the umrah is complete, he finished the sa'i, he will go to the mataf or any place in the masjid and perform 2 rakats nafal. This is also mustahab. Now, alhamdulillah, the umrah has been complete. A person will remain in Makkah Mukarramah in the state of halal. During this time, he should ensure he performs all his salah in the masjid. He does not commit sin and does not inconvenience or hurt anybody at this time. He should ensure, you know, that he is in a state of purity all the time. Until the time comes then where the 5 days of Hajj is commencing. If a person before Hajj, generally they move the Hujjaj from Makkah Mukarramah to Azizia. If you stay in Azizia also, you can't come to the Masjid al-Haram for Salah, then the Masajid there in Azizia, you must make sure you perform the Salah in the Masjid there. Don't perform the Salah in the rooms, or hotel room, wherever you are, whichever home you're staying in, don't perform it there. Because Rasulullah ﷺ always emphasized that we perform Salah with Jamaat in the Masjid. So we should perform Salah in the Masjid. And because Azizia is part of the Haram, that 100,000 Sawab will get it there also. You get that Sawab. But if you perform it in the hotel room, or you perform it in some building you're staying, in the room there, then you are going against the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going against Sharia. Now you're getting guna. So now that hope of getting that 100,000, you're getting sin now. Rasulullah wanted to burn the homes of those people who don't come to the masjid and perform salah in the masjid with Jamaat. So this is getting very important. You know. Then comes now the time where the 5 days are commencing. When the 5 days approached, the person who completed the umrah, he came out of the state of ihram, he was halal. So on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, now one will don the ihram for Hajj. If a person is in Makkah, he'll put on the ihram of Hajj in Makkah Mukarramah. If he's in Azizia, he'll put it in Azizia. Put on the ihram of Hajj in Azizia. Rasulullah SAW and the Sahaba, on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, they move from Makkah Mukarramah, they travel to Mina. So this is Sunnah to travel for the Haji now. Now he's in the state of ihram of Hajj. He should move towards Mina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went after sunrise. So it is sunnah now to go after sunrise. After sunrise you'll leave. Rasulullah sallam came to Mina and before Zawal he was already in Mina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Mina for 5 salah. Rasulullah sallam performed the Zuhr, the Asr, the Maghrib, the Isha, and the following day, the 9th, the Fajr of the 9th in Mina. So it is Sunnah to remain in Mina on the 8th and to perform 5 Salah in Mina on the 8th and the Fajr of the 9th. This is Sunnah. Now remember, one thing important is that when a person enters in the state of Ihram, then he should recite the Talbiyah in abundance. The best thing for a person in the state of ihram is talbiyah. Other zikrs you can make, tilawat also we can do. But among the best forms of zikr is the talbiyah. In the state of umrah also, a person going towards umrah, he's traveling from Medina Munawwara or traveling from Salafiq or wherever, he's going to perform umrah in the state of ihram, is a muhrim talbiyah, the talbiyah. Especially any change during the journey, going on the conveyance, leaving the conveyance, when a person is going uphill, downhill, at any ascension or descension, Rasulullah used to recite the talbiyah, this is sunnah. So here when a person puts on the ihram for hajj, he's in the state of a haji, he's in ihram, recite the talbiyah in abundance. Allah becomes very, very happy. Allah becomes very happy. The talbiyah, labbaik, Allahum, oh Allah, we are present, oh Allah, we are present. So while he's in Mina, he shouldn't get involved in any sinful activity or any futile activity, amusement. Now a person is playing with his phone, he's looking at haram things, Allah Pak save. The reward of the hajj is getting destroyed. Then a very important thing is that segregation between non-mahram males and females in Aziziyah also, sometimes the men are coming in the women's room, the women are being in the men's room, there's no parda. So this, all these things destroy the rewards. So here in Mina also, women also must be separate, men, but should ensure that they observe parda. So the time must be spent in ta'at and obedience. The following morning of the ninth, Rasulullah ﷺ performed the Fajr Salah and then Rasulullah ﷺ walked towards Arafah. Rasulullah ﷺ walked. Someone can't go walking, go by conveyance also, no problem. That is greater reward for walking. Rasulullah ﷺ came to Arafah, Nabi ﷺ had ghusl. To make ghusl in Arafah also is a sunnah. Nabi ﷺ had made ghusl before Zawal. It's mentioned on the 8th, the Hajj commences, the 5 days. On the 7th, Rasulullah ﷺ addressed the Sahaba, gave a khutbah in teaching them these laws, how they should conduct in the 5 days. So on the 7th. Then came the 8th. On the 9th morning, Rasulullah ﷺ moved from Mina to Arafah. Rasulullah ﷺ came to Arafah, the Nabi of Allah. He had made ghusl. Nabi ﷺ rested also. And after Zawal, when the time of Zawal passed, the time of Zuhr entered, Rasulullah ﷺ performed the Zuhr and the Asr Salah together. Now if we are present, we should perform the Zuhr Salah with Jamaat separate in the Zuhr time, and we will perform the Asr Salah with Jamaat in the Asr time. We will not make Jamaat, because this law, the Fuqa and the Hanafi Mazhab explained, the law of Jamaat is only for those who are with the Amir of the Hajj. Rasulullah ﷺ was the Amir of the Hajj, all the Sahaba. When people go for Hajj, the Amir of Hajj is the person appointed from the Saudi government to conduct the Hajj. He's not here. He'll be in the masjid. So if you are with the Imam of the Hajj, you can make Jama, Zuhr and Asr, you can perform together. But if you are separately in your tent, you'll perform the Zuhr in the Zuhr time and the Asr in the Asr time, in the normal time. You won't join the namazes. Very important for us to understand this. Then the main ritual of Hajj, the main rukun, is the wukuf of Arafah. This is the main thing. When the year that Rasulullah ﷺ performed that Hajj, the day of Arafah was a Friday. It was that day that Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Islam Madina. This verse was revealed by Allah upon Rasulullah ﷺ. It was the time after Asr. Rasulullah ﷺ was on his conveyance and the wahi began to be revealed on Rasulullah ﷺ. The animal couldn't contain the weight of the wahi. The animal sat down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the occasion of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Rasulullah and this ummah that deen now has been completed. It was on the occasion of Hajj that the completion of this deen took place. Rasulullah was so happy. Allah Pak said, and I am pleased for you with the deen of Islam, that this is your deen. I am pleased with you. And I have completed my favor upon you. Today I have completed deen, completed my favor, and I'm happy with Islam as your deen. Nabi Sallam informed the Sahaba of this. Allahu Akbar. So after Zawal, Rasulullah performed Zuhr and Asr, then the wukuf commences. This wukuf is the main ritual of Hajj. If a person misses the wukuf of Arafah, he lost the whole Hajj. It's very, very important to understand this. That you have to be in Arafah at the time after Zawal, we should be here. What is wukuf? Wukuf is to stand facing the Qibla. It's better to face the Qibla. If someone didn't face the Qibla also, wukuf will be found, but he said, face the Qibla. And a person should be in dua. Should be in dua. A lot of dua. Now, Ustad Muna Harun Sahib, Nawar Allah, Umar Ghado, with the Fazl of Allah, in 1998, when I did Hajj with Hazrat Mulana, so he asked me, you got a Hizbul Azam? I said, yeah, Hazrat, I got it, you know. Mulana read from that whole Hizbul Azam, all the duas Mulana read. Allahu Akbar. holy Ibn Azam. Wukuf is for person to stand. If a person can't stand, he can sit down. If he's tired, he can even lie down. But a person shouldn't be involved in any guna, any futile activity, something that is not in keeping to the shan. Understand very, very well that the 5 days, the mercies of Allah are descending. When the people are in Mina, many people, they get involved in chit-chat, ghibat, all this. The mercies of Allah are descending. Arafah is the greatest day in the year. Of course, after Ramadan, the greatest day is Arafah. And the mercies of Allah that fall from the sky, that rain on the ummah, knows no bounds. Allah Pak tells the angels, I have forgiven all these people. I accepted their du'as, and on behalf of whom they cried, I will accept that du'a also. It's a very, very great thing. Very, very great. Now what is the zikr? The zikr that Rasulullah and Sahaba made. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is for those who are present at Arafah, the Hujjah, and for those around the world also. On the 9th of Zulhijjah, it's a happy occasion. We all know, we all reciting the takbir after the salah. Takbir al-tashriq, it commences. And then the following day is Qurbaniyah. So, la ilaha illa wahdahu la sharika la lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa ala. Allah Pak loves this. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, that the one who is in Hajj, he should recite this zikr, la ilaha wahdahu la sharika la lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa ala kushin 100 times. Followed by Surah Ikhlas, Qul Wallahu Ahad 100 times. And thereafter 100 times durood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad kama sallita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid wa alina ma'um. 100 times. 100 times. La ilaha wahdahu la sharika la, then Surah Ikhlas. And there she write the durood 100 times. Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned the rawait of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in the afternoon of Arafah, when a Muslim stands at wukuf and he recites this, Allah becomes so happy, so pleased. Allah addresses the angel saying, oh my angels, what is the reward for this servant who is reciting this? He has glorified me, testified to my oneness, mentioned my greatness, honored me, recognized me, praised me, and sent salutations upon my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You bear witness, oh my angels, I have forgiven him and granted him the honor of intercession. On behalf of whoever he will intercede on the day of Qiyamah, I will accept his intercession. And Allah Pak says, if he intercedes on behalf of all these people standing here, the millions, I will accept his intercession also for these people. It mentioned the day of Arafah is the day that du'as are accepted. The person engaged in a lot of du'a. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, specific du'a. Allahumma a'tiq raqabati minan nar. Oh Allah, free my neck from the fire of Jahannam. Wa usi'li minan rizq al-halal. Grant me halal rozi. Wasrif anni fasaqat al-jinn wal-ins. And oh Allah, save me from the evil shayateen and evil jinnat and evil people. Save me from the harm of them. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remained till Maghrib. Of course, the Hujjaj will remain till Maghrib. It mentioned while Rasulullah was in Arafah, then the Sahaba didn't know Rasulullah is fasting or not. So then Maymunah radiallahu anhu and Umm al-Fadl, they sent some milk for Rasulullah. Nabi Sallam was on the camel, he drank that milk. He knew he's not fasting. For people who are not in the state of Ihram, not a Haji, it's mustahab to fast on Arafah, the day of Arafah. But for Haji, the sunnah is we should not fast, that's better. That is better, emulation of Rasulullah. Anyway, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah is so particular, when he went for Hajj, he would drink milk because of this sunnah. And he would arrange for milk for all these fatis to drink that milk. Rasulullah also made a lot of dua. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Rasulullah was informed by Allah that Allah has forgiven the entire ummah that Rasulullah made dua for. Except those who are involved in injustices. Nabi Sallam was sad that these people never gain acceptance and forgiveness. Rasulullah Sallam thereafter, he left after Maghrib and he came towards Muzdalifah. On the way, Nabi Sallam made that Usama radiallahu ta'ala sit behind him on the conveyance. On this day, on the 9th, the Maghrib Salah will not be performed at the time of Maghrib. It will be performed at the time of Isha. So Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala told Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, As-Salah, As-Salah. Nabi Sallam said, As-Salah Amamak, As-Salah Amamak. Nabi Sallam stopped, he wanted to pass water, pass urine. Nabi Sallam went on the side, of course, secluded place, and he passed water. Then Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala made the wuzu for Rasulullah with zamzam water. This is something exclusive to Rasulullah. If we in a state of hadas, we should not use zamzam water. It's a special for Rasulullah. Rasulullah came to Muzdalifah. When the time of Isha entered, then Rasulullah is mentioned he made wuzu again. And Rasulullah performed the Maghrib and the Isha in the time of Isha. So this is what we will do. The Maghrib and Isha will be performed with one azan and one iqamat. The sunnah of Maghrib will not be performed after the Maghrib. But after the Isha Salah, the sunnah of Maghrib and the sunnah and witr will be performed after the Isha.
Rasulullah SAW permitted the women and the children and the old who cannot manage, that after performing the Maghrib and Isha in the manner I mentioned together, Rasulullah allowed them to go to Mina. They don't have to spend the night in Muzdalifah. But this is only for women, children and the old who cannot manage. Other than that, others will spend that time in Muzdalifah. This is a very great night, among the greatest of nights. The reward is very, very great for ibadat. But the Nabi of Allah made ibadat and he also slept. So it's also sunnah to sleep also. A little while you sleep. Rasulullah also woke up early in the morning at the time of ghalas, when the fajr just ended. Rasulullah also performed the fajr salah in darkness. And this is sunnah on this day. Rasul performed the fajr. So we'll perform the fajr day also with jamaat. The Rasul said, face the qibla and he commence wukuf. This is also sunnah, the wukuf. In fact, it is wajib. If a person misses the wajib wukuf of Muzdalifah in the morning, you have to give dam. You have to give dam, you know. So Rasulullah also made wukuf, made dua. I told you what wukuf is. To make dua, to make takbir, tahleel, tasbih, zikr, all forms part of that wukuf in Muzdalifah. Just before sunrise, Rasulullah s.a.w. made Hazrat Fadl ibn Abbas sit behind him on the conveyance, and Rasulullah and the Sahaba left just before sunrise. So the time to leave Muzdalifah just before sunrise, like two rakat salah you can read, and Rasulullah moved towards Mina. Rasulullah s.a.w. made dua again in Muzdalifah, oh Allah, forgive my ummah, even those who are involved in injustices, if they want to turn to you, Allah, forgive them. Allah, they turn to forgive them. And you grant a good recompense to all those they oppressed, but forgive them. Allah Pak accepted the dua of Rasulullah for those who commit injustice here. In Nabi Sallam smiled, the Sahaba saw his smile. In Muzdalifah he was happy, but he was not so happy. Here he became very happy, except the entire ummah. Allahu Akbar. The pebbles, the person in Muzdalifah, you will pick up pebbles in Muzdalifah for Mina, or on the road going to Mina, you pick 70 pebbles. Rasulullah Sallam came thereafter, he came to Mina. When he came to Mina, this is now the tent. On the tent, the thing that the Haji will do is after sunrise, he will pelt the Jamar-e Aqaba, the big shaitan. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, after sunrise. So what you will be doing on the tent? The tent, you will first pelt with 7 pebbles. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you'll throw it. You will not make dua after this. After this, dua is not sunnah. Thereafter, a person who is doing umrah, he has to slaughter his animal. A goat or sheep, he'll slaughter. Or 1/7 in a cow, he'll slaughter it. After the animal is slaughtered and they inform that now your qurbani is done, then you'll shave the hair and unwanted hair. And now a person can wear clothing and he can put itar. Now he can put itar also on his body also. The only thing that he is now not permitted to do, the prohibition that remains, he can't come close to his wife, he can't touch his wife with any lust. He has to remain away from his wife with regard to this. Now the time comes for tawaf ziyarat. Rasulullah s.a.w. after he completed the rami, he completed the qurbani. Rasulullah s.a.w. sorted 63 camels that he brought with him from Madinah Munawwara. And as Ali radiallahu anhu brought 37 from Yemen for Rasulullah s.a.w. The Nabi of Allah slaughtered 100 camels. 100 camels. And that meat, Rasulullah fed everybody, all Rasulullah fed. So you can imagine that Hajj Mabrur, Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas mentioned, is that birr means virtue. So among the virtue, Rasulullah feeding people. Imagine 100 camels, Rasulullah, how he fed. And 7 camels were such that they were rushing forward towards Rasulullah, slaughtered me first. This is mentioned that each camel wanted that honor to be slaughtered at the hands of Rasulullah. Nobody had to catch it, they came forward. Allahu Akbar. Then Rasulullah went to Makkah Mukarramah to perform the tawaf ziyarat. And at the Zuhr Salah, he performed the Zuhr in Makkah. Some narration mentioned in Mina. The wives of Rasulullah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him to perform the tawaf ziyarat at night. The time of tawaf ziyarat is the tent after a person finishes all his rituals. These 4 actions the person should do in tartib. First pelting, then slaughtering, thereafter shaving the head. If a person mixes the tartib, the sequence, he has to give dam. Person who is doing umrah and is doing hajj, a mutamatti or qarin, he has to do in sequence these 3. If he mix up the sequence about these 3, he has to give dam. The tawaf is ziyarat, he does it later on, this is sunnat, but of course he must do it at the end, because the sunnat, to uphold the sunnat is very great. The time of tawaf is ziyarat is from the 10th after he finishes these rituals, right till the 12th at ghurub. If a person delayed without any excuse, he has to give dam for delaying the tawaf. Only a woman in state of haze or nifas, because they can't go into the haram to do the tawaf, after they become parked, they do it, there's no dam for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained, he pelted on the 11th and the 12th, and Rasulullah stayed for the 13th also.
The time of pelting on the 10th you mentioned after sunrise. But the time for pelting on the 11th and 12th is after Zawal. You can't do it before Zawal. You do it, it's not counted. It has to be done after Zawal, right till Ghurub. Right? After Ghurub, because of the crowd, the person can do it right till the following morning, Subah Sadiq. You can do it. So the 11th, the 12th, the 13th also is after Zawal. However, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi mentioned on the 13th is permissible to do it after Subah Sadiq, sunrise. But it is not preferable, it is undesirable. But on the 13th, this law, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah is permitted. Rasulullah said, thereafter he moves, so this is how we will do. A person should do pelting on the 11th, 12th. If he stays on the 13th and does the pelting, even more reward. The Nabi of Allah, thereafter he moved and he came to Khayb Bani Kinana. The Nabi of Allah didn't have a home in Makkah Mukarramah, no house he had. Sahaba asked, Usama said, oh Nabi of Allah, where are you going to stay tomorrow? Rasulullah said, hal taraka lana aqilun manzilan. My cousin Aqil, before he accepted Islam, then he got this land. Rasulullah s.a.w., his uncle Abu Talib, it was his house. So his sons, Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Jafar were Muslims. Talib and Aqil were kafir, so they inherited. So that house they had. So Rasulullah s.a.w., later on Aqil accepted Islam. So that house didn't have. So Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned Aqil sold that house. You know. So there's no house I have. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, when we go to that place, where the boycott took place at the beginning of Islam. We know that 3 years the boycott against Rasulullah, they wanted the family of Rasulullah to hand him over. Rasulullah said, we'll stay there. Two, as a reminder that the honor of Allah, Allah honored us, honored Islam today. The kuffar can see the honor. At one time we were driven out of Makkah, Allah brought us with honor today as victors here. Rasulullah stayed at Khayb Bani Kinana, that place. Rasulullah performed Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, four salahs. Spend the night, and then Rasulullah went to Makkah to perform Tawaful Wida. Tawaful Wida, the Haji will do Tawaful Wida. Tawaful Wida is wajib. It's wajib. If a person doesn't do Tawaful Wida and he goes, you have to give dam. Except a woman in the state of haze or nifas, this is the uzr, the excuse. If she goes without it, it is maaf. However, if a person after Tawaf is ziyarat, a person he did a nafal Tawaf, it will suffice. Very important, when Rasulullah came to Makkah Mukarrama for Tawafu Ziyarat, Rasulullah did it in the same way how I explained Umrah. Same. Rasulullah did the Tawaf. After he did the Tawaf, Rasulullah he performed the two rakat wajib Tawaf. Then Rasulullah drank Zamzam. Then Rasulullah did another Istilam, the ninth Istilam as I mentioned. Rasulullah thereafter he went for Sa'i. The Sa'i was done in the same way. And this is how Rasulullah completed it. And then Rasulullah and the Sahaba, they went to Medina Munawwara the following day on the 14th of Zulhijjah. Rasulullah said, a person should, after Hajj, he should go to visit Rasulullah. If he cannot go after, at least he should go before come to Makkah Mukarramah for Hajj, he should visit Rasulullah. And if he can visit Rasulullah, both times be even better. Before and after, Allahu Akbar will be even greater. Rasulullah mentioned, the one who goes to perform Hajj, and he doesn't come to visit me, indeed, he has shown great disrespect to his Nabi. Our intention for a person setting out on the journey of Hajj should be only the pleasure of Allah. To fulfill this obligation according to the Sunnah. To gain the closeness, proximity of Allah and His Rasul. And to visit our beloved Nabi in Medina Munawwara. So now a person is coming to Medina Munawwara, is coming. After the Hajj is complete, is coming. He should keep all the virtues of Rasulullah before his eyes. Nabi Sallallahu mentioned that the one who comes at my qabr and he sends salam, I hear his salam. And the one who sends salam far away, the malaika sends the salam. You should remember this virtue. Rasulullah also mentioned, the one who comes to my qabr and he gives salam, I answer his salam, and he will be my neighbor in Jannat. Rasulullah said, he'll be my neighbor in Jannat. Allahu Akbar. Then a person comes, when he enters Medina Munawwara, with a lot of respect, you know, great kings of the past, they should be crying as they're entering Medina. It's a different kayfiyat. So a person comes to Medina Munawwara, he must set himself in the hotel room, his luggage, everything gets settled. Then he should make ghusl. He should make ghusl. Wear the best clothes he has. Apply itar. Give some sadaqah. And then he sets out for Masjid Nabawi. When he enters the masjid, he must perform two rakats. Tahiyatul masjid. The sunnah of Rasulullah make dua. And thereafter he presents himself in the court of Rasulullah. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, the person should recite, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Reminding that this is the command of Allah to recite dur. He recite that one time. And then he should recite 70 times, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu, once, and then 70 times. In some hadith it is mentioned, when a person recites Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah. The malaika also make dua. The malaika make dua. That may blessings be upon you. Whatever duas a person will make, the duas will be accepted. Then a person should ask Rasulullah SAW for shafaat. Ya Rasulullah, as'aluka shafaat. O Nabi of Allah, I ask you to intercede by Allah for me. Wa tawassalu bika ila Allah. And I make you the wasila, you the medium between me and Allah. I make you the medium for Allah Pak to accept. I ask Allah fi an amuta musliman ala millati wa sunnati. I make you the medium that I'm asking, oh Allah, oh Allah, let me pass away upon your deen and upon your sunnat, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then a person to convey salams on behalf of those who told him to convey the salam. If he can't remember, say, O Nabi of Allah, whoever told me, I convey the salams, I can't remember some people. Whoever he can remember, he should take their names, say. And then he should move to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he should give salam to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar Farooq, he should move, he should give salam to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. And in Makkah Mukarramah, he said to go to Jannatul Mu'alla. The Sahaba buried there, try to go. In Medina Munawwara, go to Baqi. And while he's in Medina Munawwara, then on Thursday he should go to Uhud. And should read a portion of the Quran, send the reward to Hazrat Hamza and the Ashab of Uhud on Thursday. And on Saturday he should go to Quba. Rasulullah used to go to Quba on conveyance also, walking also, but he can do both on Saturday. And in his stay in Medina Munawwara, he should be very, very kind and compassionate to the people of Medina Munawwara. In Makkah Mukarramah, be very, very kind, you know. Don't keep bargaining with the people now. You're bargaining too much, you know. You always want cheap everything. There's a hadith, you know. Okay, to ask him, it's all right. If you spend your wealth over here, you must know you're spending it in the path of Allah. How happy Rasulullah also will get. And don't speak out against anything against the people of Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarramah. You shouldn't do this, yeah. For Hajj is the guest of Allah. And when you go to the home of the guest, you don't want to do anything that the host becomes disclaimed. Some of the time it goes, if a person has some unpleasant experience, I think inshallah this will go towards the upliftment and qabuliyat. Allah will forgive my sins. And all the time speak good only of people of Makkah Mukarramah, people of Medina Munawwara. Allah give me all of tawfiq. Allah wa sallam. يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا رحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بأقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة بعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا ذريات قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أرحم الراحمين.